Today on Real Life Radio.
I can't draw blood from you and run it through an analyzer and get anything about an American out of you. I'm going to get German, Irish, French, Dutch, African. Are you with me? Because this place is the place where you're supposed to choose to be here because you believe in what it is. Only other place on earth you can do this, right here.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You know, when it comes to social media, we can either use it for our benefit or allow ungodly philosophies, opinions, and worldviews to bog us down with content that really doesn't come from a place of love and hope. We often fail to realize the influence social media has upon our lives. So if you're looking for a social media source that promotes biblical truth, simply head over to our website, jackhibbs.com. Now, once you're there, you'll find Pastor Jack's podcasts, YouTube channel, Facebook, Instagram, real-life radio programs, and a whole lot more. Again, our website is jackhibbs.com, and it's there you'll find easy access to all that Pastor Jack has to offer, including our Real Life mobile app for your smartphone or tablet. That's at jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Futures with a message titled Heaven, Will You Be Going There? Part 2. Now, this series is a study in what the Bible has to say about heaven, the future, and why indeed it matters to our lives today. You see, over and over again, the Bible describes heaven as an actual place where all the blessings and benefits of God will be realized and experienced. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that the gospel message, when believed, acts as a cleansing agent, renewing us from the inside out, a personal testament of the love of God and the glory and vastness of heaven. Now, with his message called Heaven, Will You Be There? Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
So church, I'm going to ask you to stand if you would, and we will read the Word of God together. If you were here last week, you remember that in our series that's called Futures, we're looking at the future doctrines, the doctrines of the Bible that speak about the future. We call it Bible prophecy. And the reason why we're doing this is because during this time of life, during this time as this church is, it is absolutely necessary that we know what we believe when we say that we're a Christian. If you say you're a Christian today and you do not know what that means, then can I ask you this? How in the world can you say you're a Christian? And let's be honest. And I mean this, by no stretch am I being political right now. I have the amazing opportunity to say this. Your background, genetically speaking, you may be, as I've met people today, you may be Argentinian. I've met some Peruvians today. I don't look like it, but I'm predominantly Portuguese and Pacific Rim. What are you? German? Is it English for you? If we drew blood from your veins, we would know for sure. But you're standing in a country right now that has no DNA marker. This is the United States of America. I'm going somewhere with this. It's biblical. Hang on. You can be here and you can be a citizen. You can file your income tax. You can put an American flag on your house. But it doesn't make you an American. There is no American bloodline. I can't draw blood from you and run it through an analyzer and get anything about an American out of you. I'm going to get German, Irish, French, Dutch, African. Are you with me? Because this place is the place where you're supposed to choose to be here because you believe in what it is. Yes. Only other place on earth you can do this, right here. You've chosen to be here. Well, I was born here. Being born here doesn't make you an American. It means you have citizenship. It means you're legal. But to be an American is to choose to believe in what the founders left us. You can be in church. We can pull your blood, and it can be from a long line of Baptists or Lutherans or Assembly of God or Catholics or whatever you might be. But no blood pulled from your veins would say or indicate that you're going to heaven. So wait a minute. I've got my baptism record from my Catholic church. It doesn't matter. Is the kingdom of God in you? And that's why the Bible tells us in heaven, John saw everyone who was there, and they were from every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation. In heaven, ladies and gentlemen. Do you know what that means? That means when we're in heaven, we're going to see people who have ethnic backgrounds that we'll identify. Every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation will be in heaven. Not because they were Baptist, Lutheran, Catholic, or you name it. Because there was the sacrifice of one lamb, the Lamb of God, Jesus, who brought this family together. And it's what you believe about what the truth is that gives you the right to call yourself a Christian. And as we look at our study regarding heaven and will you be going there, this is a serious message today. I don't know if you have friends that attended First and Second, but people walked out just crying, miserable today. I mean, you could hear the air getting sucked out of the room, because what we're going to be talking about is deadpan serious. And you're going to hear stuff today that you're not going to hear in a church, because you can't grow a church if you say the things that I'm about to say from the Bible. My reason for doing this is, if you want to play games, you're in the wrong place. If you're serious and you want to get ready and you want to know for sure that you're going to be in heaven, then today's your day. This is serious, serious stuff. God is true. The Bible is true. Heaven is real. Hell is hot. And he loves you. He loves you, and you need to understand. So we're going to be reading from the selective verses or passages that we read last week from. I will read the odd-numbered verses. If you'll join with the even-numbered verses, Revelation chapter 21 on the screens. I'll begin verse 1. And by the way, as I read this, I want all of you to pay close attention. We're going to be talking about heaven. Watch it. Watch for it. There's the heaven where God is. Theologically, I could argue and be right that wherever God is, there is heaven. Amen. Read Psalm 138. Okay? Psalm 138, 139. So, we're going to be reading about the future. And I want you to pay close attention to things like water, trees, light, cities, kings, countries, nations, Jesus, throne, forever. Okay? John says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea.
Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband.
And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, listen what John hears. This is amazing. Behold, look, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God.
And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.
Doesn't that sound good? Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for those words are true and faithful.
And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts.
Verse 7, he who overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son.
But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
Wow. Revelation chapter 21, now verse 21, starting there. The 12 gates, talking about heaven, the city coming down. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Listen to this. Each individual gate was of one pearl. By the way, that's one solid pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass.
But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple.
The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light.
And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it.
Wow. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there.
And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it.
But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Revelation 22, verses 1 through 7, and this will be the end of it here. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb.
In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations.
Amazing. And there shall be no curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him.
They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads.
There shall be no night there. They need no lamp, nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever.
Then he said to me, "These words are faithful and true." And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place.
So watch this. You see, verse 6 ends by saying, which must shortly take place. Verse 6 and verse 7 uses a term about shortly and quickly. It doesn't mean that this Genesis is over here and Revelation is over here and it's going to go quickly. It means that once the end time events take place, that period goes very fast. You won't have to wait around when the clock moves, when that stopwatch goes. Verse 7, this is Jesus speaking. Behold, I am coming quickly. Behold, I am coming. When it starts, I will be coming very, very, very shortly after that. Blessed is he. That's why we're doing this series. Listen, blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Again, Father, we pray that you'd fill us now with your Holy Spirit's power to be students of your word. And after we've studied, give us the power, for we know it is your will, to do your word. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. And as we look at this, we opened it up last week with this title regarding heaven, will you be going there? And we saw, first of all, one single argument occupied our time, and that was the reality of heaven. So that's where we began, is that there is the reality of heaven itself that the Bible speaks about. And there were three things that we saw that encompassed that argument regarding heaven. In a recent poll, 120 people were asked, 121 technically, were asked, if you died, would you go to heaven? 120 people said yes, before one person said, I think I'm going to hell. So for every 120 people, one of them had the honesty to say, I don't think I'm going to make it. By default, the American interviewed on the street thinks he's going to heaven. And we've taken heaven and we've made it almost something of boredom. Heaven, oh yeah, heaven, yeah, sure, I'm going to heaven. Like it's nothing. And yet from cover to cover of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, This book is a book of redemption. You need to know that if you don't. This book is all about getting you back into the presence of God now and forever. God wrote this. God provided it. God made the way of salvation. And it's God who extends the invitation. Come to heaven with me. Jesus said, come and follow me.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Here's the funny thing. You might feel better if I were to put up on the screens right now. These are the 10 rules that you must obey to attend this church and eventually make it to heaven. And people without faith will say, write that down. Oh, wait, hold it. Let me take a picture of it. Let me copy that. That's sick and dangerous. But that's the human works mindedness of us trying to get back to something that we know on the inside we've lost or we do not have. Listen, doing good things, people, is a wonderful thing. We need all of you. You need me to do good things. We want good citizens. That's fantastic. And you can't exactly fault the person holy who says, I do good things so I can go to heaven. Their motives are wrong. What they're trying to do, though, is a good thing. And we appreciate that. My argument is that not a valid argument regarding heaven or not? Clearly it's not. You can't go to heaven by being good. But here's what I'm saying about the person that is driven to do good with hopefully being accepted by a god or gods to let them in, is that they know down deep inside there's got to be some form of reformation, some form of change in my life to do something that will maybe outweigh my bad so that I can win in the end. And I'm just pointing that out as a virtue this way. They are admitting by their actions that they have fallen out of friendship with heaven and they're trying to find their way back. Their way back is all cockeyed and weird and wrong, and it's unacceptable to God. But they're groping, are they not? They're looking for some form of merit or standard that they can make their way back to. And my point is, they're searching because they're lost and they know it. They will look to works, they will look to effort, they will look to good deeds because they know that there's a vacancy inside of them. God turns and says, regarding the reality of heaven, that we all need to take notice that he has given us enough evidence. This is where we're at last time, where the atheist can debate the existence of God in heaven, but it's futile. The evidence is overwhelming. I'm pretty sick and tired of people saying without any knowledge whatsoever, you can't prove the existence of God. I believe you actually can prove the existence of God if you just apply reason and logic. And what I mean by that is this, that there's a natural witness that we learned about, that God has created what has been created. It's brilliant and it's obvious. Somebody, and you can, listen, you can use this. In books of evolution and argumentation like that of a creation without God, they will say, all you have to do to believe in evolution is to look at an embryo. And they will put up an embryo of a monkey. And I challenge you right now, don't do it right now. I need you to pay attention, but do it later. You put up an embryo of a monkey, put up an embryo of a giraffe, put up an embryo of a fish. Wait, do fish have him? Thank you. But you could still put up the egg of the fish. Hold it up there in the light. Put up the embryo of a human, put up the embryo of a rhinoceros. You pick it. You have to, guess what? They all look the same. Have you seen them? And an evolutionist will say, ha, that's proof that evolution's true. And they walk away like they won the argument. Oh, the exact opposite's true. The exact opposite's true. So how do you figure? Because the same God who claims in the Bible to be the creator of all life, when you look at the embryo of a monkey or of a giraffe or a human, it does look exactly the same. You know why? Because it came from the same mind. It came from the same designer. Why mess with a good thing? Apparently it works. If God wants to make a giraffe, this is how it goes. It means that he's the creator. It doesn't mean that he didn't do it. It means that his fingerprints are universally on everything. And when those things go and move and develop out of the stage of looking the same, are they quite different or what? Thankfully so. Remarkable. Creation. Creation screams. So I believe in science. Right on. Then you should bow your knee to Jesus if you do. The evidence is overwhelming. We looked at that last time. Secondly, we saw last time that there's the personal witness of consciousness. We had some fun with that because we talked about how you and I as humans, we have a consciousness. We dream, we wonder, we write poems, music and letters and expression that comes from your consciousness, from the spiritual side of who you are. And we made mention of the fact that there's no bodily part of your physical existence that has the conscience department. It's not by your right ear. It's not over on the right side, the middle, the deep part of your brain. It's not down around your thyroid. It's nowhere near your pancreas. It doesn't exist because you are functioning a bio machine for this world. It's called your body. And we focus on it. We draw attention to it. We put deodorant on it. And the older you get, the more deodorant you put on it, the more the cologne. Why? Because you're dying. You got to cover up the stink. Why? Because this body is dying. But notice the consciousness stays. And the Bible tells us, and by the way, science tells us, that at the moment of death, it's interesting. Life, the world will say that life ends. The Bible says life left. And when you die, will heaven be your home? Will you be going there is the question. There's a natural witness that says, I'm God, believe in me, I've made all of this. There's the personal witness of consciousness where you think God thoughts and you wonder about God. Remarkable. You and I talked about the joys and the hopes and the expressions. But being human, we're also able to confess the conviction and the guilt and the shame that's in us. The personal witness of consciousness. Third one is the divine witness of revelation. So what do you mean divine witness of revelation? God's divine testimony, witness, revelation of his revealed will, which is called the Bible, the Word of God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Heaven, Will You Be Going There? Part 2. We're so glad you're with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Futures. It's a series on prophetic scriptures and what they mean for us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, we've all felt the pressure, even the guilt of not giving God more of our time. Life in our fast-paced world can be exhausting, trying to navigate through hectic schedules, unexpected challenges, and even a health scare. The irony is that so much of that pressure would go away if we would just slow down and quiet ourselves so we can truly experience God's presence. After all, a life apart from God is really no life at all. So how can we make pursuing God a priority in our lives? Our current featured resource can help. It's called The Pursuit of God, and it's written by a renowned author and evangelist, A.W. Tozer. This Christian classic offers hope and guidance to pursue God in a whole new way.
The Pursuit of God is a must-read if you want the power and blessing that comes from seeking God by turning your gaze slowly towards Him. The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com.
You know, Jack Hibbs truly believes that we are living in some of the most exciting days in history. which brings some great opportunities to share with the world a powerful, no-nonsense presentation of the gospel to this generation who, by the way, are really searching for answers and for truth. Will you stand with us in sharing this message in real and practical ways? We ask that you commit to support Real Life and the teachings of Jack Hibbs with a gift of your choosing. Simply go to jackhibbs.com. There you'll find instructions on how to give a one-time gift or a recurring gift. If you'd prefer to call, here's that phone number, 877-777-2346. One more time, 877-777-2346. Your gift will be faithfully put to work because it's our desire that through Jesus Christ, you will know real life. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.